Beloved, you know that I was born in East Chicago, Indiana, and that I've lived in Oakland, California, and Boston, Massachusetts, and Aldi, Virginia, and Andre and I have been back here in our hometown area for 17 years. But though I have never lived in the South, I have always felt like a child of the South. It's probably because my mom and dad were born and raised in Northeast Mississippi, West Point and Aberdeen, respectively. It's probably because every summer of my childhood until I was about 18, we packed the car tight and started down Route 57, got past Cairo to Memphis, and then took a little jog to the east toward Tupelo, Mississippi, and then West Point and Aberdeen. I probably feel like a child of the South because I learned to play in that red clay dirt. And I learned there that yellow meat watermelons were the best. And you could pick them up out of the field and eat them while they were warm, spitting the seeds at your cousins. That was joy. I feel like a child of the South because I learned that the scent of biscuits is what made the morning, and the sound of laughter of a family on a porch was what made the night. I am a child of the South in my soul. I learned to say yes ma'am and yes sir and respect my elders, and I learned that all in the South. And I learned something else too. I learned that in the South you don't waste anything. You certainly don't waste clothes because there's some cousin growing up after you who could wear them. You don't waste food either because what you don't eat, the hogs will. And I learned because of my agrarian family that you don't waste seed. I preached a sermon here before about my great uncle's seed chest, which was huge. And in it, he kept heirloom seeds. They were like his insurance policy, because as long as they had seed corn, they knew they wouldn't go hungry. My mom was born in 1921. That means she came of age along with her younger siblings in the Great Depression. But they were never hungry because they always had enough seed to plant and harvest and feed a large and growing family. I understand the power of seed because of that experience. You didn't waste it. It was precious. It was your insurance. And that's why for years I hated, didn't want to read it, the parable of the sower. He got on my last nerve. But because it says, if you read in your text, it says, the sower went out to sow. The word sow in that text has connotations. It has connotations of an orderly and a reasoned way of taking seed and putting it in the ground. The sower went out to sow. But no matter what gospel you read, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, no matter what translation you read, while the sower went out to sow, the next line says, and he scattered his seed. Scattering and sowing are different. Sowing has a purpose. Scattering is careless and without thought. Just, you know, get clear in this text. He first sows or scatters seed on hard ground. Now, any of you who have walked in the fields around here and you see tracks, any of you who've walked in the forest preserve and you know where people have trodden down the land, the land on either side of the path, it might be soft, but the path is treaded down and hard. Why would he sow seed on a path? It is clear, and the text tells us that moments later, birds come and eat up the seed, and he doesn't learn. From the path, he goes to rocky ground, where there is no soil for the seed to establish its roots. From the rocky ground, he goes to thorny ground, where the plants around grow up and choke out the life of the seed once it germinates. Finally, in the parable, he gets to good ground. And in the Gospel of Matthew, it tells us that the seed that is sown on good ground yields 30 and 60 and 100-fold. It yields so much more than it should, sown on good ground. But you notice in the text, we hear nothing about a produce from the seed sown on ground that is hard or thorny or rocky. What is wrong with this sower? In my mind, he's looked around him and he's lazy. He's just scattering seed and it comes to no benefit. There's no bountiful harvest. What's wrong with this sower? He's got it all wrong. Or does he? You see, if you keep reading in the text, you'll discover that the ground Jesus uses in the parable is a metaphor for hearts and for souls. Jesus goes on in the second half of that parable and says that the hard ground is that which has been hardened by life. And he continues, and the rocky ground is those where there's just not enough faith and the seed is planted, but immediately it doesn't have enough faith and it can't catch hold. And the thorny ground is those people where their fears and their worries and their anxieties just choke the life out of the seed, which the parable tells us is the word of God. But did you notice something else? Never, I don't care which version of this you read, never does Jesus criticize or upbraid the sower. Wait. You have just wasted 3/4 of your seed, and you've told me that the seed is the word of God. So you've just wasted 3/4 of the word of God, and Jesus, you have nothing to say about this? No. Because, beloved, what if you and I, those who are filled with the light and love of God, those who are gathered in churches or gathered before screens right now seeking to get more of that word in you, what if those of us who knew the blessings and the presence of God, what if those who are filled up to being ready to shout, what if we have no capacity at all to really judge good ground? What if we have no ability to know whether that one seed put in thorny ground will find its way to avoid the thorns and grow up to shift somebody's life? What if it's not our job to say, up, you do not look like you deserve the word of God. Up, it does not look like you have enough soil to bless the word of God. Up, you just don't look ready. What if that's not ever our job? What if I've been wrong all this time and the sower has it right? That the sower's job, that your job and my job is to move through the earth not making judgments, to move through our days not seeking to understand why ground is hard, but just to scatter seed. Because we don't know who's had an experience in a church where the church has beaten them up with a sense that they are such a sinner, they can barely get in. Maybe that's what's made them hard. And maybe the seed that you have, the word of love or the word of grace that is your seed, maybe your seed is the one that will break through that once hard ground. What if we don't know if they're thorny? Because the world has impacted them in such a way, they think they need thorns to keep themselves safe, because their world has been a dangerous world and their thorns are a way of coping. What if your seed is the one that'll just find its way in the midst of all of those thorns and grow up beautiful and fragrant and full of fruit so that the thorns would fall away? And what if in that rocky ground they're made rocky because they think they need an arsenal of rocks around them to hurl back at a world that's done nothing but hurl rocks at them? We don't know how the ground got to be the way it is. We don't know what the ground is protecting. We don't know what the ground is trying to accomplish. But we know this, that God's word, that seed is able to make hard places soft. We know this, that seed is able to make rocky places smooth. We know this, that God's word is able to transform anything that it touches. What if we took God's word and scattered it into thorny places Because if you look around our world right now, Kim, we've got some thorny places. We've got some thorny places where people don't know how to talk to each other. We've got some thorny places where people are throwing gambits at one another. We've got some thorny places where friends and family are divided over politics, over the evening news, over what's right and what's wrong. We've got some thorny places. But what if you and I found out those thorny places, searched out those thorny places, and chose to plant the love of God? What if we said, you are never separate, nothing can separate you from the love of God? What if we said, don't involve yourselves in vain conversation? What if we said that the God of love says, be of good courage, do not fear, do not give up? What if we said that the God of love says, I will set all things right because everything is beautiful in its time? What if we took God's word into thorny places, into hard places, into rocky places? What if, like the sower, we decided that we were going to spend only a quarter of our seed in safe places like this? What if we decided that coming to church was only going to take a quarter of our energy because this is good ground? What if we decided that those Bible understanding, Bible reading, praying friends that we know are already on their path toward glory, what if we didn't spend all of our time with them? The sower only spent a quarter of his time, a quarter of his seed in good ground, and still 30, 60, and 100 fold. What if we decided that 3/4 of our energy, 3/4 of our time, 3/4 of our seed, God's word in us, we were going to spend, scatter, sow in places that look hard and rocky and thorny, in places your mama told you not to go, in places you don't want to go, in conversations you don't want to have, with people you're seeking to avoid. What if the sower is right and our seed, good seed, has to be spread in places we can't imagine going? Beloved, it's hard to watch the evening news. It's hard to pick up the paper and read. It's hard to have conversations with some folk I love. But we aren't let off the hook, beloved, because it's hard. In fact, the parable of the sower rises up as so powerful. Because if in fact that one seed that you sow in hard ground, or Carla that you sow in rocky ground, or Sharon that you sow in thorny ground, if that one seed really has the chance to grow up and change somebody's heart, it can only happen if we sow it. If it stays in our pockets, waiting for good ground, there's no chance. Beloved, you know the word prodigal means wasteful. It means extravagantly wasteful. God is calling us this day to be prodigal sowers, to be wasteful in the eyes of the world, for it feels like pearls before swine. But it is not because we don't know the shape of the ground. It is God's word to us in the sower. And I'm not asking you to walk out of here with a 48-pound Bible and start waving it at people. I'm instead asking you to have the seed in your kit bag. If you see pictures of the sower, we don't know, but archaeologists say that they would have had a scarf slung over and the seed would have been near their body. They weren't reading the directions. They just knew what to do. We can't go out of here by chapter and verse quoting, because that may have been what made the ground hard or thorny or rocky. We have to have God's word in our being. Like the prophets say, your word is like honey in my mouth. so that we might offer it with grace and blessing, so that we might offer it with hope and with joy, that we might offer it as invitation, as sweet as honey for someone who has been in that condition for so long, who longs to be fertile, who longs to give birth to the seed. We might be the one to bring living water, and that's Jesus, to wet it all up and make it different. But it'll only happen if you and I trust that as we scatter, not sow, our seed, God is up to something. Where can you go that you don't want to go? With whom can you have a conversation that you'd really rather avoid? What is that place that looks rocky or thorny or hard that you've written off, that I've written off? The parable of the sower comes to tell us, no, Zena, you've been wrong all these years. The parable of the sower is not wasteful. It's extravagantly wasteful. And it is so on purpose. It is so by God's great design. Jesus had gathered a bunch of agrarians like my people. He gathered them and said, a sower went out to sow, and the sower scattered. May we, you and I, be brave enough to recognize that there's no shortage of God's word, that it's not limited, that it generates itself in your pouch and my pouch will never be empty. May we believe that we might scatter God's word and never turn around to see if it's borne fruit. That's not our job either. Our job is just to scatter and leave the rest to Jesus. Leave the rest to our Savior, who said in that psalm, I've got compassion over everything I've created. Hard ground and rocky ground and thorny ground and good ground, and the ground of your heart, Zena, that's been wrong for a long time, I've even softened it, that you might see the beauty of the prodigal sower, that you might become, we might become, the prodigal sowers in our day and our time. God unrevealed unto its season. You know, I didn't like this parable. You know, when I saw that banner up there, I thought, that will not be one that is preached. And in the moment I said it, you quickened something in my belly. Thank you, God, for never giving up on this piece of hard ground. Thank you, God, for watering this piece of thorny and rocky ground named Zena with your love and your living water, that it might be revealed in its season that the sower is my hero, not my problem, and that I might model myself in exactly that same way. Send these your children, this your daughter, into the world ready and willing to scatter seed, that you, our God, might do the rest and bring about a harvest of righteousness and peace, a harvest, your harvest, of hope for the world. This, our God, we pray in your Son's name. Amen.